thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. And it is so exciting as I go around to conferences, lectures, and workshops all over the country, and in fact the world, when people come up to me and say, we listen to this show on Progressive Radio Network. And that is really exciting, and that is going to grow because now you can also easily download the app. And to do that, you just have to go to your friendly app store, whichever one you like to use, and put in Progressive Radio Network, and it will take you to where you can download the app, and it is free. And then you can listen to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z anytime, day or night, because you can listen to us live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. or any other time of day, because we have a very substantial archive, as do all the shows here on Progressive Radio Network. So join us from wherever you are. And we have so many classes and workshops. You can find them at naturalnurse.com. If you'd like to get the newsletter, just go to naturalnurse.com in the lower left-hand corner. All we ask for is your email, nothing else. And you can unsubscribe at any time if you would like. And, of course, we also have lots of classes and workshops. You can find them all at naturalnurse.com calendar. And most of them also grant CE credits for health professionals. You don't have to be a health professional to take the class, but if you do want the credits, then you may want to take them because you get CE credits, ongoing credits. If you're not a health professional and you just want the credits for your, just take the class for your own interest, then you can get a printed certificate that shows that you attended. So either way, you're learning a lot and joining us from afar, from near or far. And we love to have you involved in our classes. So thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is physician Dr. Naaman Neem. He is a pulmonary and critical care specialist who has been interested in human behavior and how to achieve our highest potential since his adolescent years. His intellectual curiosity and drive motivated him to become a physician in the first place, in particular a pulmonary and critical care physician. His career has spanned two countries and has involved caring for tens of thousands of chronically and critically ill patients. He noticed that the majority of his patients remain trapped in the paradigm of chronic disease rather than healing. So this motivated him to dive deeper into the roots of true healing through studying ancient traditions, the psychology of healing, consciousness, and metaphysics, which culminated in the writing of his new book, which I have sitting right here, beautiful front cover, Healing from the Inside Out. He continues his medical practice in Canada, with the goal of bridging conventional medicine with a more holistic, multidimensional approach. And you can find him on Twitter at Light Body Healer and his website, NaamanNeem.com. And you can find the book anywhere, Healing from the Inside Out. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Naaman.
Well, thank you, Ellen, for having me.
Tell me the best way to say your name.
It's Naaman Neem.
Okay. That was a challenge typing, I'll tell you, because it ends it together, you know, when I know, when yeah. I went to look at your website.
Yeah, Naaman Neem, yeah.
Okay, so we'll call you Dr.
Call
Naaman,
me by my first
if
name,
that's
if
all right
want.
With you.
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Okay, and I want to thank you so much for putting your thoughts together and writing this book, because it certainly reflects both your own journey as well as what's actually best in science.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, actually. It's been an exciting journey, which life is. My life has been about exploring. I've always felt that I'm an explorer and a seeker. And this is just kind of the next step. The writing of this book has just been the next step in my journey.
And so it seems like you decided to become a doctor because you wanted to help heal people in the first place.
Yeah, so I've always had this intellectual curiosity, and I've always, been a student of knowledge, and it was from my youngest years. And the reason I entered the medical profession is because, it combined several things which attracted me, which was learning a lot of knowledge in a short amount of time, service to humanity, and the ability to work almost anywhere around the world. And so when I entered medicine, when I finished my training and I entered practice, like you had mentioned earlier when you introduced me, I noticed that my patients were stuck in this paradigm of chronic disease, and they were just not getting better. They weren't healing. And long before I became a physician, I was always fascinated by human potential and human behavior, and I had been reading authors like Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra for years, and other authors as well. And when I started to see people just stuck in this paradigm of chronic illness, I started to apply all that knowledge I had gained earlier, and I started reading even more and diving even deeper into human potential. And I had always wanted to write a book. It's always been a goal of mine. I think a book is one of the best ways to get your message out there and potentially, touch thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people. And once I started having all these insights into how my patients can heal, I felt compelled, almost inspired, to write this book. And it's been out since September of last year, and that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And we can take it in any direction you'd like to.
Well, also, your foreword is by Bernie Siegel. He's been on this show many times.
Yes.
And is certainly a forerunner of yours in terms of recognizing how important, emotional life is. Now, when we talk about something like chronic care, that's very different from critical care.
Yes.
In the case of saving someone's life when they're having an anaphylactic reaction or
yes.
a very severe asthmatic attack, mm-hmm. I think there's nothing like Western medicine.
I agree.
It's just that it doesn't really address the degenerative nature of chronic illness.
Right. So the thing about, I'll address that, the thing about critical care, there are those few cases of patients who get critically ill where they were otherwise well. You gave an excellent example, someone who has a sudden anaphylactic reaction to something that they may not have known that they're allergic to. That's someone who can be otherwise healthy and get suddenly critically ill. But the vast majority of the people who I see who are critically ill in the intensive care unit are people who have had long-standing chronic illness, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, maybe chronic kidney disease, and peripheral vascular disease, amongst other things. And when those patients who are chronically ill, they get acutely ill, they can become very quickly critically ill. So that's the vast majority of critically ill patients, and most of them have chronic illness. So,
and the ones who have... Well, everything that you just mentioned in terms of that long list of problems that mm-hmm. that seem to be so epidemic, really, yes, we'll talk about, the spiritual, emotional aspects, but actually every one of those are linked to self-care, diet, and exercise,
yes.
which really many people don't seem willing to step up to. They want you to fix them.
Exactly. And that's kind of, the paradox of the medical care, of the healthcare system is that, these patients come to us for, healing, and unfortunately, the vast majority of them, they do not really heal. They get stuck in the paradigm of chronic disease. Now, I'm not implying that we don't need to treat them with medications and surgeries and that sort of thing. I mean, there's a place for all of that, but the issue is that the medical profession and how we're trained as physicians. does not train us to go to the root, to the core of what ails people. And, you know, we're taught to deal with individuals at the level of the physical, but that's the most superficial aspect of who we are. And who we are goes far deeper than that. And I can even just talk about my definition of healing at this point. And I make a distinction between healing and cure. Cure is an endpoint at the level of the physical. Healing, to me, means that, you know, you are cultivating and integrating all the different levels of who you are. And when I talk about the levels of who we are, we've already talked about the physical. There's the mental, and that has to do with the mind. And the mind is the conscious and the subconscious mind. There's the emotional self. There's the vibrational self, which refers to our energy. Because, you know, if we look at who we truly are, if we break us down into our fundamental, the unit of matter, it's the atom, and the atom is made up of subatomic particles. And in quantum mechanics tells us that those are 99.99999% empty space. That means it's all energy, and we're just a vibrational frequency. And then deeper than that, there's the spiritual self. So, you know, when I talk about healing, I'm talking about really diving deep into to becoming whole and integrating all those aspects of who we are, and to create the optimal environment for treating any condition.
Yes, that certainly is. I'm having a little flashback because I've been doing holistic medicine since 1964, a very long time.
Yeah.
I would say that's, you know, I know Bernie Siegel a very long time as well. And one day I was in a lecture, and Dr. Alan Gaby, who you may know or have heard of, he's an excellent doctor as well, and he was talking about a similar path that you're describing, where he got very disenchanted because he was kind of told in medical school that we don't heal disease, that we manage disease.
Right.
And he felt that's not what he signed up for.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that, because I've had the same sentiment. When I entered medical school, it was because I wanted to help people, and I wanted them to heal. I wanted to find ways to get them better. And I believe that's why I got interested in the whole, human potential genre, and learning about consciousness and metaphysics, because at some level, even before I entered medical school, I had an inkling that I'm not going to be, it's just the medical training is just going to be the beginning of my journey. It's kind of the start, and I'm going to have to go deeper to learn the true essence of healing, of becoming whole. So I've had the same sentiment that you described. You know, it's not, I mean, I feel that it is a stepping stone in my personal life journey, to learn about healing and awakening and becoming whole. So, yeah, I completely relate to that.
And then he looked into things, like, for instance, with osteoporosis, he was actually able to get documented change in bone density through women changing their diet, using vitamin D, as well as quite a bit, something that you've probably investigated as well, with biofeedback.
Uh-huh.
Actually more of a psycho-spiritual technique, but they were able to actually visualize their bones getting stronger. And, you know, he did not do a double blind to see which of those, in an isolated sense, helped, but overall he actually was able to stop further bone degradation and also stop them from having to take some of the medications, which unfortunately have very severe adverse effects.
Yes, they do. And, you know, speaking of the biofeedback, I mean, a lot of what I discuss in my book, I mean, you know, there's people who have been doing a lot of these things for years. And, you know, I've just kind of integrated all the different aspects of, you know, healing into this one place. And the thing about, you know, you mentioned randomized controlled trials. The issue there is that, you know, unfortunately, the way our medical profession is designed is that randomized controlled trials are done for pharmaceuticals and other interventions, and they're often driven by financial reasons, right? I mean, because pharmaceutical companies have, you know, they have billions of dollars that they can spend on researching a drug that they can bring to market that's going to bring them a huge profit. But if we're talking about things like you talked about, like biofeedback, or you know, there's other techniques to you know, get rid of subconscious blocks, or emotional healing, or other spiritual techniques. I mean, there's not an incentive to do a large trial on that, because, you know, there's no profit for you know, the medical pharmaceutical complex. So I believe that a lot of these modalities and a lot of these things that I talk about can be studied. It's just that there's not that incentive to do that in our current environment.
In our nursing journals, we really actually do have quite a bit of research that we're always reviewing. I'm on several boards of journals, and a lot of those are attempting to be able to measure things that are more eclectic, like you're talking about,
right?
Things like therapeutic touch in the nursing sense, which is really very similar to Reiki, et cetera, where we're looking for parameters that we could quantify. But it's
right.
Not going to lead to the increased sale of a pharmaceutical, so
exactly.
Therefore it's difficult to get funding for the research.
Yeah, exactly, and that's exactly what I was alluding to. It's difficult to get funding because, I mean, there's no one to, I mean, the patients are going to benefit, obviously, but, I mean, there's no third party who's going to profit from that, right? So, and unfortunately, a lot of our healthcare system is run by the pharmaceutical industry and the device industry and based on, you know, different surgeries and that are available for patients and the associated technology. Now, like I said, I mean, I don't want anyone who's listening to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we don't need pharmaceuticals, we don't need surgeries. I mean, I'm a conventional physician, and I've gone on this path of learning more about healing. I'm saying that there is something that we have yet to understand about ourselves as human beings as it pertains to chronic illness. And just dealing with that physical level is just a very tiny part of the whole picture. And that's the point of my book.
Yes, very much so. And you do lay it out, you know, you lay it out beautifully. Now, what about your life's journey before and after medical school, which actually led to you finally writing this book?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I could not have written a book about healing unless I had been on my own healing journey. So, you know, I was, I'm of South Asian origin. My parents, I was born in London, England, and my parents emigrated to Toronto, Canada when I was 5 years old, and we moved out to a city that was east of Toronto. And we were in a lower socioeconomic area, and we were the only South Asian family in our neighborhood, and I was the only South Asian kid in my elementary school and middle school. And I never saw myself as different from anybody else around me, but I was seen as different because of my ethnicity. And I faced a lot of racial discrimination growing up. And that led to a feeling like a lack of self-worth, and that led to negative thinking. And that negative thinking, you know, really was a big part of, you know, my childhood and going on beyond that. And I believe the reason I really got interested in human potential, human behavior, transformation, and this whole genre of knowledge was in response to my negative thinking, because I had to find some way to deal with it. And the way I dealt with it was to excel intellectually. Like, I really dived into learning and doing well in school. But as I'm sure you're aware, that anything you do on the outside, if there's a problem on the inside, anything you do on the outside is really not going to address those inner issues. You really have to dive deep within. And that's why I got interested in, you know, this whole genre of study. And, you know, after reading like hundreds and even you know, possibly 1,000 books and different sources of knowledge, you know, I was able to get beyond that negative thinking and heal myself of that. I mean, that was my illness, was the negative thinking. Now, it still kind of creeps in now and then. You know, I can't say that I'm perfect in any way, shape, or form, but I'm still on that journey like all of us are. We're all on that journey of life, which is a journey of awakening. And when I talk about healing, what I'm really talking about, to put it in a nutshell, is that we're just getting back to an awakening to our true nature, how we were born into this world. And we're taken away from that, from all the different experiences that we have in our lives. You know, there's so many influences on us when we're children. I mean, besides our parents and extended family, there's the education system, there's media, as we get older, we get exposed to social media, there's like the news media, and a lot of it is negative, right? A lot of it is negative. There's not a lot of those positive influences. And that's what we're fighting against. But the thing is that we were born into this world awake and pure beings of love and light, and we lose that over time. And that's our journey, journey to rediscover who we truly are, our true nature. And that's the journey I've been on, and you know, because of those experiences I had earlier on in my life. And everyone has their own challenges, right? I mean, I'm not here to say that my challenges are any greater than anyone else's. We all have our own, you know, personal stories and our challenges that are there to help us get back to our true nature. And I see chronic disease as just an example of one of those challenges. And the first chapter in my book is you know, your illness is a gift. And that may sound like a paradox, but when I say your illness is a gift, it's pointing you to go deeper within, to discover something about yourself that you may have once known, that you may have lost, that you need to rediscover about who you truly are at your core. Because we're not our bodies, we're not our thoughts, we're not our emotions. These are all aspects of who we are. Who we are is pure consciousness, awareness, being. That's who we are. And someone who is more of a religious or spiritual nature would call that soul or spirit. But I make no distinction. I mean, that is who we truly are. And our journey is to live from that place of pure consciousness.
That's quite beautiful. We're going to take a break right here, but listeners, I'd like to remind you that we are speaking today with the author of Healing from the Inside Out, Overcome Chronic Disease, and Radically Change Your Life. And this is written by medical doctor Naman Neem, MD, and with a foreword by Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles. Many of you are familiar with him as well. And this is a beautiful book that you want to have on your shelf because it can really help you get a better perspective on what's going on with you and why people seem to endlessly suffer from chronic disease with no real way to go on an upwards spiral. And that's what Dr. Naman's book describes. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants, preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, ma huang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of ma huang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure, and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, ma huang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Ma huang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, ma huang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using ma huang, so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with ma huang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember ma huang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are getting ready to initiate our summer schedule. That's what I'm scheduling now. I know it's just early spring, but looking ahead to getting together with many of you out in the field where we gather edible and medicinal plants and make them into medicine. We had several workshops doing that here in Florida this winter at Hippocrates Health Institute, and we'll do those again. And then in Long Island in the New York area, we have coming up our Chinatown Herb Walk, where we spend the day in Chinatown. And that's coming up in April, and we're taking registration now. It always sells out. So if you're going to want to come, go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and you'll see the Chinatown trip. Then in June, we have both outside herb walks, as well as a full day of gathering wild, edible, and medicinal plants and making them into medicine. We have one in the Long Island area and one in Connecticut coming up. So looking ahead to that, we also have our daily lectures as well as online classes pretty much every day. So check out the schedule. We have a full 4-credit course, which gives you 18 CE credits. And that's coming up starting this week, and that's an online certification class in herbal medicine. So all of those things are what you can check out at the website. Now, for our guest today, we have a wonderful medical doctor, Dr. Naaman Neem, and he is from Canada, and he's the author of Healing from the Inside Out. We're talking about his revelation about the fact that the best way to overcome chronic disease and radically change your life is basically by going an inner journey. Very, very interesting. Thank you, and welcome back, Dr. Naaman.
Thank you, Ellen.
Now, you mentioned before we went off something about humans as beings of light. And I want to expand on that a little bit, because what I always tell audiences is, although that might sound like a New Age sentence, it
right.
actually is within the realm of physical science. Because how each of our cells, as you know, but we'll share with our audience, create energy is by using a molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and it
right.
releases a phosphate bond and becomes adenosine diphosphate. And
yeah.
what is a phosphate bond? When it breaks, it releases light. I often have on my slides a picture of a firefly to demonstrate that. When you touch a firefly, there's no heat. It's an emanation of light. And that's actually how we run, which I always find so fascinating.
Yeah, that's an excellent description of that. And, you know, if you look at us at the cellular level, I mean, I talked about at the atomic level how our subatomic particles are just, 99.9999% empty space. And then we have this illusion of being solid beings. But, what is that empty space? It's nothing but energy. And then we're just beings of vibrational frequency. And, the whole process at the cellular level is what keeps our cells functioning is that production of energy. And just like you said, that release of energy, when you break that phosphate bond in ATP and form ADP and the phosphorus atom, what you're doing is you're just releasing energy. And that's just, I mean, you gave an excellent description of that. And all of the processes in our body, they depend on that energy production. And, I talk about in my book a couple of sections in the healing process, which are one is Exploration, Dancing with the Void, and another.
What a beautiful name. I love the name of that chapter. What does
right.
that mean?
Yeah, so what I'm talking about in that chapter is, we fear the unknown. We fear uncertainty. But that is something that is with us at every step of our journey. And I give a good description in that chapter. I mean, right from the time of birth, I mean, even though we have technology, ultrasounds and amniocentesis and, we have all this technology, but we really don't know. I mean, the parent, the mother really does not know anything about, their baby until the baby is born. And then there's all these other unknowns that happen, throughout her early infancy and throughout childhood. As how will we develop? Will we reach our milestones? What will be our learning potential? I mean, how will we do in school? Who will be our friends? Who will be our peers? You know, will we stay on the right path? All these things. There's unknowns at every stage of our lives. And a lot of people fear that unknown, that uncertainty. So what I'm talking about in that chapter is really realizing that that unknown, that uncertainty is with us at every stage of our lives, and the fear is unwarranted, because that fear can be transmuted into an excitement for our journey in life. Instead of fearing, what's around the corner, what if we were to be excited about, what lies around that corner? Now, I'm not talking about you know, taking unnecessary risks and doing things that, you know, put you in danger. Not at all. But the thing is that, you know, there's people who live in a constant state of anxiety and fear, and that's how they live their lives. And this causes, you know, release of stress hormones on a ongoing basis. And, you know, that fight or flight response is meant to deal with an acute danger. But in our very busy and stressful society, a lot of people are always in that state. And it's that stress that causes inflammation, release of these hormones causes inflammation that leads to chronic disease. And, you know, we started out talking about how we're beings of light, and how what I'm talking about now relates to that is that even our true nature is unknown to most people. You know, we have this illusion of being physical beings, but that's not who we truly are. Who we truly are is a mystery, and is an unknown. And when we dive into that mystery of who we are, that part of ourselves that is intangible and cannot be touched or measured, that's where we truly start accessing our higher potential, that light potential, you know, that you're talking about. So
now, in terms of the worry and stress that you're talking about, let's go to an area that you, of course, are totally familiar with. And I do want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Dr. Naaman Neem about his wonderful new book, Healing from the Inside Out. And if you just Google the book, you'll easily find it, Healing from the Inside Out, Overcome Chronic Disease and Radically Change Your Life. In terms of that worry parameter, I'm just going to get a little, I don't know what it would be called, but basically talking about Canada versus the United States, because where I live in Florida, I have many Canadian neighbors.
Okay.
They live here usually 6 months.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy.
Right around this time of year.
You better believe it. They are packing their car and leaving, and a lot of them say the main reason is because it's so much less worrisome from a healthcare point of view in Canada.
Because right.
They're not going to lose their home, and they're not going to, you know, basically have their whole life turned upside down if they do get ill because of the difference in coverage.
Right. So that's not something I deal with in my book, but since you bring it up, you know, here we have universal coverage in Canada, and you know, if you're a Canadian citizen and you've been for 3 months, whether you after birth or whether you migrated here, you get full coverage. And you know, there's a plus and a negative to that, and I'll tell you both sides. The great thing is that nobody has to worry about incredibly high healthcare bills and losing their assets and their house if they get really sick. However, the negative side to that is it's easier to try to access the healthcare system when a little thing goes wrong, like someone gets, say, an upper respiratory tract infection, or you know, has, you know, minor symptoms. And you know, a lot of the urgent care clinics and a lot of the emergency departments here are inundated. You know, it's just overwhelmed, especially during the winter months. And I still think that you know, the healthcare system is more beneficial in that we provide that coverage. But what I would like to see is some sort of education or some sort of program to teach people that they are the source of their own healing, and that they should that you need to fall on the medical profession, obviously, when there's an emergency or a trauma, obviously, but that you know, it should be the use of medications and procedures and you know, going to your physician should be something you do that complements your own healing and health enhancing regimen, which needs to include, mindset. It needs to include emotions. It needs to include increasing your vibrational frequency. Part of that is nutrition. It needs to include movement or exercise.
It needs to include that deeper dive.
So I would like to see a program here.
Like,
yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, I was interrupting you. Go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is all those things you're describing really changes the responsibility of care, not to Dr. Naman, who's supposed to take care of me, but he will if I need him, but really focusing on a societal level in terms of self-care and
yes.
self-determination, because, yes, we have genetic makeups, but we can trigger them or turn them off, and we're finding more and more about that through modern genetic research.
Exactly. And another wonderful scientist and author, Bruce Lipton, he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. I know him for years.
So I've read that book many times. And, he alludes to this in his research. He says that, what's greater than our genetic makeup is epigenetics. And what he means by epigenetics is the environment that the cells and the genes are exposed to, because not all the genes we have necessarily need to be expressed just because we have them. And the environment that they're exposed to in this day and age is an environment of stress. And we're under tremendous amounts of stress. And, that's why a lot of, we are suffering from a lot of these chronic illnesses, because that stress can activate those genes that predisposes us to develop a lot of the conditions I mentioned earlier, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, amongst others. So epigenetics has been proven to be a greater determinant of our health. And they say that only genetics only determines 5% of the expression of chronic illness.
Yes, it seems to have less of an effect the older we are.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
So that's been revelatory as well. Well, we're going to take one more break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, so people can get to hear more information about a lot of the wonderful shows that are right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Naman Neem and his book, Healing from the Inside Out, Overcome Chronic Disease and Radically Change Your Life. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Have you ever noticed how pathetic the mainstream news is, and how it's biased, vague, and utterly devoid of any objectivity? Do you or anyone you know still believe America is a democracy? Well, I insist you tune into the Plutocracy Report with Vince Marcanti, right here on PRN every Friday at 4 o'clock. I'll explain how things truly are, like America is a veiled plutocracy, and I'll show you the evidence is everywhere. Once we remove the program bias and deception, our news outlets convey the scripted narrative of the deep state while distracting and dividing us. It's time to break the dichotomy of division so we can finally unite and remove these sociopathic plutocrats from power. Join me on the Plutocracy Report with Vince Marcanti.
Get your daily dose of happy each morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN. LOA Today is expanding to appear on PRN now 5 mornings per week, Monday through Friday. I'm Walt Thiessen, the host of LOA Today. The way you start your day sets the tone for the rest of the day, so start it happy. We explore the realm of positive psychology, the law of attraction, and the power of positive thinking, and we have a heck of a lot of fun in the process. You'll find yourself smiling each morning. That's LOA Today, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Dr. Z, you can always find us at naturalnurse.com, and we love to hear from you. Today, we are talking with guest Dr. Naim, and he is the author of Healing from the Inside Out. And Dr. Naim, you talk about bridging between worlds, and that seems to be one of your paths in life. Since I've been looking through your book, and you talk about feeling that way, as you mentioned earlier, being a South Asian Muslim, growing up in a mostly Christian culture, but you found that, you know, once you matured about that, you could bridge the two worlds, and there's so much that's so beautiful about doing that. And now you're sort of doing the same thing with your interest and focus in conventional medicine, which saves lives, but bringing in also what you're teaching so much about now in terms of more of a spiritual aspect.
Right. Yeah, so that's interesting because I believe that, you know, we all have life stories and we all have life journeys, and I believe that our life story holds the key to why we're here. And the first step on my healing path is that of intention, and I mentioned that intention is rooted in meaning or purpose, finding a higher calling, and I believe that we are all here for a reason. Now, I believe that I am on my path. I mean, it may evolve over time, but I was a bridge when I was younger. I mean, I did face that racial discrimination, but eventually, as I matured about that, I realized that you know, I was between two worlds: the world of my my parental given culture and background, and the world I was living in, the society I was living in. And you know, I have been a bridge, and I mean, growing up, I would get asked a lot of questions about my culture and my beliefs and that sort of thing, and I was able to enlighten those people about my upbringing and how I was brought up and what we believe, and that held a key to where I am now, because I believe that we can, all of us can trace a thread through our life, our past, through our life story, and get clues as to what our higher mission or calling is in life. And just as I have been a bridge culturally growing up, like you said, I now feel that I am a bridge between conventional medicine and a more holistic, multifaceted approach to healing. And it wasn't until I entered the medical profession that I was able to and I got interested in all these deeper and higher aspects of health and healing, that I realized how my past had prepared me for the journey I'm on now. And in that sense, I mean, at the time that I was going through all that, I was in a very negative state of mind. But now I can look back on my life journey, and I can be grateful for what I've experienced. And bless bless that for what it has, where it has led me, and what it has shown me as to why I'm here. And we can all do that with our life stories. We can all do that, and not many people do, unfortunately.
Now, could you give us, Dr. Naim, can you give us an example, whoever comes to mind, like a particular patient that you had as a conventional patient, and then maybe you brought through, and how you integrate some of these other aspects like mindfulness, and perhaps saw a better outcome.
Right. So I have one patient who I can discuss. We'll just call her Lisa. She is in her 50s, and I'm a pulmonologist as well. So I see people with lung disease. So she came to me with respiratory symptoms, shortness of breath. And through investigating her, what we found is that she has we call interstitial lung disease, which is essentially a broad term for a group of conditions that are all inflammatory in nature. It's inflammation in the lung. A lot of it becomes chronic and ends up causing fibrosis. And I had investigated her extensively through different procedures, including a bronchoscopy, where we go into the lung with a camera and a light, go into the lung and get a biopsy. But that biopsy did not lead to a diagnosis. And, we ended up treating her with different medications, like prednisone, which is a steroid and anti-inflammatory. She didn't really get better. And I was really at a loss, and I was recommending that she get a surgical lung biopsy, and she was a little hesitant to do that. So what happened is that she ended up going away. She was from Trinidad. She ended up going away for about a month, and she had a lot of symptoms, like this shortness of breath and chest pain and other things. When she got back, her symptoms had improved, and I started questioning her. And I started asking, so her symptoms are better, but I was wondering why. So I said, what was different about when you were away as opposed to here? And then through further questioning, what I had discovered is that she was in a very difficult and almost emotionally abusive marriage. And what had happened was that she was away from that environment, and she got better. Now, so after that, I pointed that out to her, and she had that realization. And I didn't tell her what she should do, right? I never really tell people what they should do. I let them make their own decisions. And what eventually happened is that, they ended up separating, and she ended up, her health ended up improving. Now, I'm not saying that her interstitial lung disease was caused by a bad marriage. But let's just, trace a thread through this. If you're in an unhappy relationship and you have those, negative emotions around that, that's going to cause stress. Stress leads to the release of those stress hormones. Cortisol is one of them. And that cortisol comes from the adrenal glands. If the adrenal glands are always firing off cortisol, it's going to affect your immune system. When your immune system is affected, it's going to affect your ability to fight off inflammation. And if you can't deal with inflammation, that inflammation will eventually cause symptoms and chronic illness. And who's to say, I did a biopsy of her lung and I didn't find a cause of her interstitial lung disease. Who's to say that situation wasn't a factor causing stress, causing inflammation that contributed to what's happening in her body? I can't prove that. I can't disprove that. But all I can allude to is just the fact that she did improve, after changing her situation. So that's just one example.
Well, that's a very good example. And I would say we see that time and time again. I have hundreds of examples like that, having done medicine for so long. And especially, when people do take that self-determination step. So they do start, let's say, incorporating mindfulness, which I imagine, have you gotten the hospital to offer classes in it? I mean, that's where a lot of people are going.
Yeah, mindfulness is very, very big and popular right now. And I would say that where I'm working, they're starting to look at it more.
Just
for...
So you can head that committee and put them along.
Yeah. Right. The thing is that they're looking at it more for their employees, right? Because, hospitals are a stressful environment, especially for nursing staff, as you know. For everybody, actually, not just nurses. But I want them to start looking at this for their patients. So at least I have that. At least they're looking at it for their employees. But now I'm going to maybe try to get them opening this up to their patients. I mean, imagine the benefits. I mean, this is just a small intervention, right? Mindfulness. And it's very simple. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't require you to change your beliefs. It doesn't require you to make any dramatic changes in your lifestyle. It's just a matter of just being present in the moment.
Well, I have seen that incorporated in various medical institutions, but this is how it goes. Somebody, let's say you, in my case it was nurses, actually do incorporate a time when patients can come for that. Very often in the cancer wards, they're more open to it there since, you know, they have a lot of trouble to begin with, as well as the toxic treatments, et cetera. But that nurse has to do it pro bono, basically.
Yes.
And then, however, keep track of, you know, perhaps some measurable parameter of healing, like a self-assessment in terms of stress level on the time on the part of the patients, and then fight for funding. That's how that goes.
That's, unfortunately, that's the way it goes. And, you know, there's been countless studies on mindfulness and meditation and how they benefit people who have chronic illness and overall benefits to health, not just health, but all areas of our lives. You know, our relationships, you know, how it helps our creativity and our insight into ourselves and other aspects of our lives. So in this day and age, there's so much research out there on mindfulness and meditation that it really boggles my mind why there's not more funding and more resources put into promoting this on a wider scale.
Hopefully that will happen as we move to the future. Now, we are out of time, I'm sorry to say. It was a wonderful interview with you. Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Dr. Naman Neem, medical doctor, for his new book, Some Very Deep Wisdom. Check it out, Healing from the Inside Out. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Neem, for being our guest. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of Natural Alternatives. Until next time, we hope that you stay healthy.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.